Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Just wanted to share something brief on the Parsha. Rav Meir Simcha, the author of the Sefer Mesha Chachma on Chumash and of the Ar Sameach on the Rambam, one of the great Gedolim of Eastern Europe in the earlier part of the 20th century, has an amazing comment on this week's Parsha. You know, it's interesting as we watch the birth and the development, the emergence, shall we say, of Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha, it's really a very complicated story. And his journey is really an adventure, and it's a whole narrative. It's interesting as you look through the psukim to see what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're all familiar, has a period in his life where he's in Egypt. He goes out of the palace, and his life is in jeopardy, and his life is threatened, and he decides that he has no choice but to escape. He vanishes from the scene, he runs away, a whole lot of other things happen as he's running away on the escape, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. The Ribono Shel Olam comes to Moshe Rabbeinu by the sneh, and he empowers him, and he instructs Moshe Rabbeinu that it's time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. It's time for you to rescue Klal Yisrael and finally get them out. So when those instructions are given, it's a fascinating way that we are introduced to that instruction. The Torah says, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, go back to the land of Egypt. Why? Ki mesu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha. Because all those who are trying to kill you, all those who are out for your life, all those who you are afraid of, are no longer around. So you don't have to worry about them. Mesu kol ha'anashim, they've already passed on. Your life is no longer in jeopardy. And now you have a right to go back. Now the Mesha Chachma picks up on that and he says, wow, that's a very strange comment. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go back is because he has a job. And that job is to save the Jewish people. So what does it matter? You're nervous about a couple of people that might still be around that may be jeopardizing your life? I just gave you a job. Your job is to save the entire Jewish people. And you're worried about the couple of guys who might have been after you 20, 30 years before? What are you worried about? And who cares, even if your life is in jeopardy? Imagine you're going to tell a soldier you can't go out to war because maybe you're going to lose your life. We won't have an army. That's the definition of what a soldier is. Well, part of the job of Moshe Rabbeinu here was to be the leader of the Jewish people. Does that mean that maybe his life is going to be in jeopardy? Yeah, maybe. But it seems, writes the Mesha Chachma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the only reason why he has an obligation to do so is because Mesu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha, because those people who are trying to kill you, who are aggressively threatening your life, are no longer around. And writes the Mesha Chachma, we learn a tremendous chiddush, a big halacha from this, and that is that if a person sees that someone else's life is in absolute vaday danger, that person is going to lose their life. And I have the opportunity, I have the ability to put my life in a suffix sakana. I can maybe endanger my life, but if I do so, I will certainly save that other person's life. Says the Mesha Chachma, I do not have an obligation to do it. Not only if we're dealing with a one-on-one, but even if I'm dealing on one against thousands of people. For example, here by Moshe Rabbeinu. He is confronted with a situation where he has the opportunity on the one hand to save the entire Jewish people. On the other hand, he might be putting his life in danger by doing so, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't have to do that. You only must do so when Mesu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha. That is a tremendous chiddush, and one that is very, very heavily debated. One that is really not simple at all. Many, many mefarshim have a lot to say about this comment and whether or not it is true. Now, it's interesting, because if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh writes, we have an institution of a Rotzeach B'shogeg. So the Rambam tells us that every so often you have a situation, a tragic situation, where somebody is involved, let's say, in a car accident, Rahmana Litzlan, and another person gets killed. It wasn't my fault. I wasn't trying to do anything bad. I was not malicious at all. An accident, a real accident happened. So the consequence of such an action is that a person has to go into the Ari Miklat. Writes the Rambam, what if it so happens that the person who ends up in the Ari Miklat is the general of the Jewish army? His name is Yoav ben Tzeruya, right? Yoav ben Tzeruya was the general of the army in the days of the Nevi'im, the days of David HaMelech. So what if I'm the general of the army and I am the one who's in Ari Miklat? And now the army needs to go out to war. They need me. Now I'm faced with a problem. On the one hand, I need to lead the Jewish people into battle. If I'm not going to be there, they're going to lose the war. On the other hand, if I leave the Ari Miklat, the rule is that the person whose family member I killed has a right to kill me if I go out of jail, if I go out of the Ari Miklat. So, on the one hand, if I go out and I save the Jewish people, it's wonderful, but there's a very high likelihood that someone's going to kill me. So, do I have an obligation to do that? The Rambam says, I do not have an obligation to leave. And even if it means that the entire war is going to have to be put on hold, Well, that's what it is. I don't have an obligation to go out and jeopardize my life. Again, this is a very, very fascinating question. Let's take it down lemaisa. I assume most people in here are not generals in an army. I assume most people in here don't have those kinds of situations that they are faced with. But, say, for example, a question that we get all the time, and we should be proud that in our community this question really does come up probably once a month. The question is that I am found to be a match for somebody else to donate a kidney. Now, obviously, there's always a risk involved in every procedure that a person undergoes in the hospital. Do I have a right to donate my kidney? Somebody else is in a vadai sakana. If that person doesn't get my kidney, they are probably going to die at some point. Obviously, dialysis, we can help them, we can give them medications, we can treat them. But over time, it's going to very potentially be, very high likelihood, that it's going to be a real pikuach nefesh for that person. So if we leave things as is, that person's vadai going to die. They're vadai, they're for sure going to lose their life. If I do an intervention, meaning I willingly volunteer to donate my kidney, I'm putting myself in a suffix sakana. Again, the likelihood of me having a negative implication seems to be pretty low. Seems that the numbers on kidney donation are very positive and very good. But at the same time, there's always a risk involved, and there are always things that can go wrong. Am I allowed to do that, or perhaps not? So it just so happens that there are three opinions on this. So how can you have three opinions? How can you have three opinions on a yes or no question? It's a very strange answer. So what's fascinating is that the three opinions are, if you look in the Beis Yosef, it's funny because the Beis Yosef was the original manuscript before the Shulchan Aruch was written. From the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch extracted the main points and told us, bottom line, what are you supposed to do? In the Beis Yosef, he brings you the whole panoramic view of every sugya, of every halacha. He tells you the Rishonim, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, he tells you everything. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he can't write all of that. So in the Beis Yosef, in the original manuscript, he writes that if a person is faced with a situation where somebody's life is certainly in danger, and I have the opportunity to save them by putting my life in a potential danger, I have an obligation, says the Beis Yosef, to step in and get involved. I have an obligation to do so, writes the Beis Yosef. How do I have a right to turn a blind eye to somebody whose life is in danger? Even though it means that I might be endangering my own life, but since we're not sure what's going to be the end result of me, and we are sure what the end result of the other person is going to be, Beis Yosef writes, I have an obligation to step in and get involved, even though I am jeopardizing my own health and my own life. What's fascinating is, in the Shulchan Aruch, he does not quote his own opinion. In the Shulchan Aruch, when it's codified lehalacha, he does not bring that down. He does not say that I have an obligation to do so, which leads many achronim to believe that the Beis Yosef does not feel it's an obligation. But we have that opinion. The other extreme is, the Radvaz writes in a tshuva, that is absolutely reckless for a person to do that. It is usur to do such a thing. After all, says the Radvaz, if God gave me life, why should I be allowed to do anything to that life just because somebody else's life is in danger? That's totally irresponsible. And that, he says, is a chassid shote. That's the way he refers to it. He says, that's misplaced piety. You think you're doing something good? You're doing something terrible. You're not saving a life. You're jeopardizing your own life, and you don't have a right to do so. That is the opinion of the Radvaz. But most achronim are of the opinion that, in fact, this kind of case would be a reshus, that I have the right to make a choice. I have the right to do something. If it's not absolute that I'm going to lose my life by doing so, I may have a right to volunteer my own health in order to certainly save the lives of others. And the truth is, by this whole discussion, we do find many places, although it's true that in Shulchan Aruch it says, I'm not allowed to voluntarily put my life in danger. It's quoted both in Yeridaya, as well as in the last Siman in Choshe Mishpat. Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur lehistaken, I'm not allowed to put myself in a dangerous situation. I can't do things that might potentially endanger my life. But at the same time, we all know that many people put their lives in danger at some kind of risk. It would be much safer if all of us would stay home, never leave our block. You know, we would never drive a car. We would never go on an airplane. Look, accidents happen in airplanes. Accidents happen in the car. When was the last time an accident happened in somebody's house when they were just sitting and doing nothing? Usually, that's not the case. Every so often, it does happen. But if I would just take a walk around the block every day, make sure that I exercise, make sure that I'm healthy, and we had nothing else in the way, we would probably be much safer for it. But that's not the reality of life that we live. So the Noda Yehuda says, what right do I have to go on the subway to go and participate in some meeting at work? What right do I have to go and participate in some expo that they're having somewhere? If, after all, things sometimes happen on the subway, I'd be much safer if I stayed home. The answer is, says the Noda Yehuda, Hashem told us we're allowed to do business, we're allowed to get a job, I'm allowed to support my family, I'm supposed to do so. Part of that obviously means that I'm going to incur some kind of risk by leaving my house. And the Rebbe Yehuda says that that's reasonable. You have many, many women out there who are some kind of risk to become pregnant. It's not always so healthy. Again, there's always a risk involved. But the Torah says, Puruvu, we're supposed to have children. So how can you have a child without taking on some kind of risk by doing so? So there is such a concept. Many, many modern-day poskim... Oh, wow, I'm way over. Sorry. Many poskim talk about whether there's... We can keep going. But many say that there's a major discussion that you have to have before electing to have some kind of cosmetic surgery. So let's say I don't like the way I look. Often we have a young woman who will say, you know, I just don't think that I look attractive enough. I want to have this done. I want to have that done. Now, the success rate of these kinds of surgeries and interventions is very high. But at the same time, you're going under local or general anesthesia. You never know what could happen. Things can go wrong. It would be much safer for this woman to just stay the way she is and deal with the way she looks. And yet, most of the modern-day poskim in our community feel that that would be an elective surgery that someone has a right to volunteer to go ahead with. How can I do that? The answer is because it's not so clear-cut. Although it's true that one is not allowed to put their life in danger in a vaday makam sakana, you have to weigh the pros versus the cons. I have to weigh, what am I gaining by putting my life in some kind of danger? What am I potentially losing by going ahead with this choice and this elective surgery or this decision that I'm making? What could potentially be lost? What could potentially be gained? And that's where you have to weigh out the options. And the same would go over here. Many achronim feel that when the potential gain involved in my putting myself up to endanger my own life would be that I'm saving a rabbim, that I'm saving a community who needs me to save them. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu here, that would be something that not only do I have a right to agree to do, but I may actually have an obligation to do because it would make a lot of sense. Think about Esther Hamalka. She jeopardized her own life. The Achronim talk about that. How was she allowed to do that if, after all, we knew that she was putting her life in danger, but at the same token, it was for the purpose of Hatzalas Klal Yisrael. It was for the purpose of saving the Jewish people. What are you going to say? She should have walked away and said, I can't do this because I'm putting my life in danger? Probably not. Doesn't sound like the right choice. But there's a lot to talk about, something that really begins in this week's Parsha by the story of Moshe Rabbeinu.